Good morning, everyone. We are continuing our series on awareness and omnipresence. The last few presentations, we looked at the Shum concepts of awareness as both Ni'if and E'if. So we'll start with a short review of those two concepts. E'if is awareness traveling, flowing constantly in the fifth and fourth dimensions. Unless one is totally aware, one is not at all conscious of the happening, but only conscious of Ni'if and its flow, then in deep meditation of E'if and its flow. There are times when Ni'if changes places with E'if, and the change is unnoticed until afterwards. This is when one begins to see intuitively that which is in the fourth and fifth dimensions. This collage, then, is when we are completely aware in the fifth and fourth dimensions, such as in Mamsani or Mambashum. When Ni'if is flowing in daily life, being aware of fifth, fourth, third, and second dimensions, E'if is flowing in the fifth and fourth independently. This accounts for intuitive flashes. When an Ache works on a Mamsani or Mambashum, the Nalif vibration is E'if, continuing within the areas and neighboring areas of the Mamsani or Mambashum, while Ni'if is totally aware in other areas. When the Nache goes into the Mamsani or Mambashum, again Ni'if changes places with E'if, and the place of seeing deeper into related areas than did occur in the previous meditation. These E'if became conscious of during Nalif. That's our review. Then we get one more. A third state of awareness, E'if. Definition reads, E'if, one, awareness traveling in the sixth dimension, separate and apart from Ni'if or E'if. Two, it has the function of traveling and focusing. Three, E'if is always experiencing even when one is in other states of awareness. Four, the still small voice of intuition is an offshoot of E'if. Five, deep intuition is first from E'if, giving the false feeling that someone is talking to us or a message is being given to us by some outside source, which really it's not, of course, it's just you. Then there's a related word which gives additional information on E'if, which is M'mimph. One, the observation of one's awareness traveling from one area of the mind to another while remaining extremely focused. Two, inwardly seeing or looking up into the higher dimensions of the mind. Three, the vast areas of the mind contain many things such as pictures, concepts. Four, individual awareness traveling and at the same time remaining focused on intricate areas is an art. Five, being totally aware of E'if in the sixth and seventh dimensions, inner searching. So that's the idea there, that number five, that the state of awareness, E'if, this is how it functions in the sixth and seventh dimensions. So Gurudeva did not write very much about E'if, but I wanted to include it anyway so that we have the full picture, which is that there are three states of awareness simultaneously operating within us, and we can bring any one of the three into the foreground, and when we do so, the other two go into the background. But all three are always functioning. Then we have some Lessons from Merging with Shiva, Lesson 194, The Use of Intuition. So as Gurudeva mentioned in the definition, deep intuition is first from E-Imph, giving the false feeling that someone is talking to us or a message is being given to us from some outside source. So this is talking about that idea of deep intuition, but it doesn't use the term E-Imph. Intuition is the natural way in which man expresses himself on Earth or any other planet on which he might find expression of his being. Gurudev is looking ahead here, I think. This natural flow of mana, the Polynesian word for pranic shakti, from and through him only becomes inhibited when he disconnects from the nerve system of the celestial into the nerve system of the animal. When this occurs, there, therefore, is a disconnect between superconsciousness and external consciousness. Man's individual awareness is either captured by the nerve system of external consciousness of the successive animal bodies which his soul inhabits as a vehicle to live on Earth in, or man's individual awareness is captured by his celestial nerve system. Matured on aged planets in the galaxy, prior to arrival here on Earth. This, then, is superconsciousness, the natural expression of the transcendental soul known as man. Intuition, day by day, occurs spasmodically, but it does occur. And systematically, one can gear his observation of his own intuitional faculties and find out exactly when these intuitive functions occur within him. It is a well-defined fact that we have the faculty of precognition of coming events. It is also concurrently known that feelings of fear may precede impending danger. It is for the individual to disentangle and sort out within his own daily experiential pattern which is which. In this way, he becomes knowledgeable in the great university of his own mind as to what is a daily intuitive occurrence and what is not. How does one distinguish between intuition and usual thought-feeling processes? Desires come through feeling, warmth of emotion, as do thoughts, schemes, ways of manipulating the media forces for one's own personal benefit or that of a loved one. This is contrary to the power of intuition, which runs cold and is direct, like a bolt of lightning in the inner sky, or the subtle rainbow of an etheric aura, which bypasses processes of current thinking. Giving answers before the question, and solving problems before they have accrued. It is only through sadhana and divesting oneself in order to perform sadhana from the social structure of the conglomerate of mortals that surround you that you will actually be able to prudently delineate between true intuition and the imposing factors of need and greed that often seem paramount when living up to the externalities of the instinctive nerve system. Beautiful phrase there. Imposing factors of need and greed. Now Gurudev keeps going, lesson 195, we have one more lesson. Here's a fine example of the use of intuition. You have often been in a situation in your own mind where you felt a subtle direct impulse from deep within you as to how you should proceed. Most probably you denied it as fantasy and commenced in a logical way to fulfill your impulses and desires from previous patterns of experience, only to find that you would have traversed agonies and confusions had you followed the subtle impulse of direction which was rejected to enhance established patterns of procedure. But I might add that that first impulse must have registered itself as cold and clear, direct and profound. Only if it did would it have indelibly imprinted itself within your memory patterns, clear and sharp, thus distinguishing itself clearly from all warm emotional feelings that appear to be reasonable and totally in line with the current pictures of the day. In current events, most people guide their lives on prior reasonable patterns. This knowledge is only prophetic. It has absolutely no relation to the other courses of action entered into by intuitive decision, which in turn would encase man's individual awareness into the strong, dynamic, superconscious being that he ever was, is now, and always will be. Though we often use the terms unfolding intuitive faculties and developing intuition, they are only used in an effort to encourage the aspirant on the path to work within himself in subduing his intellect so that he can actually observe the already functioning totality of the intuitive area of the mind. Oh, that's kind of relates very directly to the Shum, Iyimf. It's already functioning. All three states of awareness are always functioning. We're just not able to clearly identify them. So this is using the word observe, so that he can actually observe the already functioning totality of the intuitive area of the mind. In order to subdue the intellect, the conglomerate of thought patterns and established modes of procedure, according to the culture of the day, it is first quite necessary to inwardly observe how one's acquired intellect actually functions. Observation is a faculty of the intuitive area of the mind, and this particular aspect of observation that I have just described comes into usage only after regular periods of meditation have been maintained over a long period of time. True, our intuitive faculties do constantly mingle through thought sequences each day, but our ability to distinguish one from another is accrued only through regulated discipline of our individual power of awareness. Once an inkling of success comes in knowing intuition and how it differs from reasoning, emotional impulses, and pre-programmed patterns within the subconscious, the contest is won. Then and then only, we must persist to sustain this knowledge and dive deep into the inevitable. All the time losing the future and the past and loosening the reins of the intellect. It's an interesting phrase which I'll comment on. Losing the future and the past, it means not dwelling there unnecessarily. Many individuals spend time thinking about the past every day, thinking about the future in an unproductive way. It's just a habit pattern. It gives the intellect something to do. Many people don't enjoy silence, and including the silence of their own mind. So they're thinking about the future and the past unnecessarily. However, ideally, we're focused in the present and we only think about the future and the past if there's a reason to do so. It's a bit like how a computer is used intelligently. If a computer is used intelligently, we're sitting at the computer, we have a specific task in mind, We use the computer to help us accomplish that task. End of computer. But if we're not disciplined, then we use it to do something else and something else and something else, which is like thinking unnecessarily about the future and the past. So we want to learn to discipline awareness, knowing that only by disciplining awareness from going unnecessarily into the past and future will we be able to clearly observe our functioning intuition. Thank you very much. Have a wonderful day.